You may be seated if you would open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Just hold your place there. But today I want to continue our series on the four anchors for the storms of life. I want you to look up them that overhead there at these four anchors. The four anchors are the cross, the Bible-based family, the church, and the baptism in the Holy Ghost. The anchors again are the cross, the Bible-based family, the church, and the baptism in the Holy Ghost. These are four anchors that I promise you they will hold you in the storms of life. I've already preached on the anchor of the cross and the Bible-based family. But today I want to preach on that third anchor, the church. These four anchors, they are there to hold you steady in the storms of life. The storms are going to come, but you can be anchored, hallelujah, and you can make it through the storms. I'd like to lay some foundation before we read our text. But over in the 27th chapter of Acts, the Apostle Paul, he was in a great storm. And he had warned the captain that there was trouble out there on the sea. He said, don't sail out there. But they wouldn't listen to the Apostle Paul. And now they are in the midst of a storm. And for 14 days, they had not seen the sun. They had not seen the moon. They had not seen the stars. That little boat, it was rocking back and forth, about to snap to pieces like a toothpick out on the ocean there. And it was dark out there, and it looked like all hope that anyone would be saved was gone. It was about the midnight hour, and the Bible says to keep from crashing upon the rocks, they cast out four anchors and wished for the day. And those four anchors, they kept them through the storm, and everyone on board that ship was saved. The Bible says some on boards and some on broken pieces. But Paul got a word from God, and he said, if you will stay with the boat, hallelujah, then you'll make it. And I come with a word from God today. That boat is the church. Amen. The first banana that ever leaves a bunch is the first banana that gets eaten. So stay close to the church. Hallelujah. But I want to ask you, have you ever been there in the midnight hour when it looked like all hope was gone and you wished for the day? You just wished this thing would end. All of us face storms in life, and we need to be anchored to the solid rock, Christ Jesus. We need these four anchors, the cross, the Bible-based family, the church, and the baptism in the Holy Ghost if you're going to make it. Jesus said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You need the power of the Spirit of God to operate in kingdom principles. We are facing a spiritual warfare, and we need spiritual weapons. And Jesus sent the Holy Ghost to his church, and I'll be preaching on that later. But he wants you to have the power that he has provided from on high. Today I want to talk about the third anchor, the church. Jesus loves his church. Jesus gave himself for his church. Amen. It's his church. It's not my church. It's not the denomination's church. The church is his church. It is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if Jesus loves his church, then we ought to love his church. We ought to love the church. We ought to work in the church. We ought to support the church. We ought to support the church with our talents, and we ought to support the church with our tithes and with our temporal means. We ought to get in the church, and when the doors open, praise God, if you can get to the church, you ought to be at the church. Now, look at what Jesus said about his church, Matthew 16, 13. When Jesus was coming to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, we know he's the Son of God, but he wanted to identify himself with us. He liked to call himself the Son of Man. He got his godly nature from the Father. The Holy Ghost overshadowed the Virgin. He got his human nature from the Virgin Mary. But he is Jesus Christ, Jesus the man, Christ the Logos, the Eternal One, Jesus Christ, the God-man. And he said, I am the Son of Man. And then he said, who do they say I am? And they said, some say they are John the Baptist, verse 14. Some say Elias, or Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. And he said unto them, whom do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed be thou, Simon Bar-Jonas, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Who do you say Jesus is? I want to tell you, if you know that Jesus is the Christ, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. If you know Jesus as your personal Savior, flesh and blood did not reveal that. No man can come to the Father, to Jesus, except the Father bid him come. And if you have that one revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and he is the Savior of the world, flesh and blood did not reveal that unto you. Look at verse 18. Jesus said, And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, upon this rock, upon this revelation, that I am he. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now look at verse 19. Jesus said, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I want to talk about the third anchor for the storms of life, the church. Let us pray. Father, we need for fresh wind to hit this place. We need for the sudden wind of the Holy Ghost to hit us, God, and to so when we go out of here, we don't go out with the musty smell of religion. We go out with fresh anointing, fresh fire, fresh glory. Hallelujah. A revelation of the importance of the church. Lord, people have dishonored the church. People have forgotten about the church. Many in the church, Lord, they don't support the church the way they should. But God, we know there are storms out there. And just like the Apostle Paul said, don't sail out there. Don't go out there as a storm. He was telling them, wait. And sometimes we got to wait. We got to be endued with power from on high. And Lord, you have chosen the church to empower us so that we can be well equipped for the storms of life. Bless us today. Seat us in heavenly places. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. Jesus said, I'll build my church. He said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We need to return to respect and honor for the church, because God's plan for this world, not just for you, but this entire world, God's plan is the local church. God instituted the church. Amen. And the local church, it is here in each community, but the church worldwide is made up of all born again believers. We are all baptized into one body by the Spirit of the living God. Every believer in every denomination is a part of the church. We have all been chosen by God, and the Holy Ghost took the blood of Jesus, applied it to our heart, and baptized us into the body of Jesus Christ. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. Then as the baptism in water, saying that I'm dead to sin, I've been raised in the newness of life. Then as the baptism in the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, where you're endued with power from on high. Say power. Power. Say it again. Power. You need power. I need power. We need power to do the works of God. God said it's not by power nor by might, but by my Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Ghost, not mental abilities. No, that won't ever do anything but touch somebody's head. If you're going to touch the hearts of people, you've got to have the power of the Spirit. We're all the church that have been born again. We may differ in a few things, but if you've been born again, you belong to Jesus. And if Jesus is your shepherd, no matter what storm you're going through, no matter what the test or the trial, I want to tell you, God watches over you with infinite care. He clothes the lilies of the valley. Hallelujah. He feeds the fowl of the air. And if he'll do that, how much more does he care for you and me? There are churches all over the world, but God's plan is the local church. And God said in the last days, and certainly we're living there, he said, I'm going to pour out my Spirit, and I'm going to send the former rain and the latter rain in the same season. And I believe that the church is going to get brighter and brighter, and that the glory of the latter house is going to be greater than that of the former house. Why do you believe that, Pastor? Because the Bible prophesied it. And that's going to come a church like you've never imagined in your life. But we've got to prepare ourselves now. Now, I got that note from someone today, and that just ignited my heart. Amen. And I'll read it to you. because it was a word said, a prophet of God said, tell you a fresh wind of God is going to hit you. How many believe that? A fresh wind from God, not only is it going to hit me, it's going to hit you. It's important that the pastor have the anointing of the Holy Ghost. It's important that the pastor have the fullness of the Spirit, because he's the shepherd. And Jesus, he calls you and me, he calls us sheep. And he said, my sheep hear my voice. Amen. And we are his sheep, and a sheep needs a shepherd. And a sheep needs a sheepfold. So there are two things that a sheep needs. They need a shepherd, and they need a sheepfold. Amen. And God gives pastors to shepherd his flock. And I wouldn't have chosen me. You've heard me say that before. I would never have chosen me. But for some strange reason, God chose me to pastor this church right here. I've never tried to get in another church. A lot of churches have come open. A lot of opportunities for someone that wants to sail out there. But I've been anchored right where God put me. Hallelujah. And I've been working, and I'm still working. And I say, God, give me more strength. And I thank you for working in this church. I thank you for everything you do in this church. God's plan is the local church. Look at Jeremiah 3:15. God says, I will give you pastors according to my own heart, that will feed you with wisdom and knowledge and understand. God says, I'm going to do this thing. It's not a man. You can go to a church where there's somebody that God didn't call, but you need to get to a place where God called those men that are preaching in that pulpit. We need the fire and a fresh wind from elsewhere. Hallelujah. Suddenly, a sound came from heaven, and it hit that place like a rushing mighty wind. And they were all filled. They all got it. And God wants you to be filled, hallelujah, so we can continue to build the local church, amen. We need the church. We need a church where the Word of God is taught, where we can be fed knowledge and understanding. The local church, the sheepfold, Jesus said, I will lead you in and out safely. See, we live in a church world that wants hype and that wants entertainment. They want programs. They want music, and they want the music a certain way. They just want it their way. But God is multi-generational, multicultural. God knows that what each and every one of us need. And we don't need hype, and we don't need entertainment. You know I love good music. I love music. Hallelujah. I love to sing. I love to praise him. I love to hear others sing. I love to hear Pastor Ricky when he plays that piano there, and we start singing. All of a sudden, we're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We need good music. But God says, I'm going to give my people pastors according to my own heart that will feed them with knowledge and with understanding. That's my job. That's what I'm called to do, to take the Word of God and to have a message from God when I step into this pulpit. When I step behind this sacred desk, I'm not looking a sermon. I've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of sermons. I got them on a spreadsheet. I got them printed out. I got them on an iPad. I got them on four computers. I've got sermons. But praise God, you don't need a sermon. You need a word from God. You need to be empowered with power from on high. There's storms out there. Praise God. And pray for me. Pray that God will give me the message, that God will give me a word that will prick your heart. You don't know the battles that a pastor or a preacher fights just to get into the pulpit. There are battles and there are storms out there. But praise God, I learned a long time ago, really doesn't matter how I feel. Sometimes I just don't feel good. Is that all right? Sometimes I'm battling battles you have no idea about. But if people would get into church and work like they should in the church, guess what? It'd take a whole lot of load off the pastor. Come out and give me a good amen. Praise God. I'm preaching now. Amen. There are storms ahead, and you need the Word of God. You need the Word to anchor you. You don't just need a little sermon. You need to hear from God. Some of you in some great storm. Look at what Jesus said. Matthew 7:24. Jesus said, therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, he said, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. Jesus is that rock. We've already seen that. And he said, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, And it failed not because it was established upon a rock. It was built on the rock. And that's what the local church is, where the word of God is to be preached. He calls men to preach. He calls women into this office. He calls people to sing. He calls people to teach in Sunday school classes, to do music. God does the calling. Amen. But Jesus said, when I call, he said, my sheep hear my voice. Are you living where God wants you to live? Have you heard his voice? Are you fulfilling your ministry? Hallelujah. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. He said, I'll lead you in and out safely. He said, I'll lead you to the valley of the shadow of death. I went to a funeral yesterday, a friend of mine, a United States Marine. I had the great privilege one day to stand right down that for you, just he and myself in this church, and talk to him about Jesus. And I told him, I said, it's not enough just to know about Jesus. You've got to receive him. And he received the Lord. Oh, he had his struggles. I talked to him over and over. And Sister Clara talked to him. He came in here one day dressed in a three-piece suit, praise God. But he died. He had the effects of Agent Orange. He fought a war for his country. And he was struggling with issues. But I'll tell you one issue he didn't struggle with. He believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you get saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You might not have gotten sanctified yet. But if you believe, praise God. You might be dragging chains around. But if you believe, if you will ask God to help you. God said, he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Hallelujah. He said, if you come to me, he said, I will receive you. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm so glad for the rest of God in this world of turmoil, in this world of confusion, in this world where storms are raging. Praise God, I met the Prince of Peace. Have you met the Prince of Peace? Stand up and give him a standing ovation and praise him that you have the peace of God that passeth all understanding, that he brought you out of darkness into the marvelous light, and your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. And no matter how great the storm, your God is greater than the storm. It doesn't matter what you came out of, it matters what you came into. And you came into Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I'll lead you to the valley of the shadow of death. He said, I'll lead you by still waters. He said, I'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemy. He said, I'll anoint your head with oil. I'll fill you with joy unspeakable as full of glory. And I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Praise God. Never is long enough. Hallelujah. And to the end of the world, that's far enough. When I step out of this world, out of this clay body, I'm going to step over there into the streets of gold, walls of jasper, gates of pearl. Hallelujah. And we're going to see Jesus. We need the church. We need the local church to keep us in the storms of life. We need the local church. And as a pastor, I want to encourage you to be in church whenever you can. Look at Hebrews 10:25. The writer said, not forsaking the assembling yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Some people, they come, they got Sunday morning religion. Excuse me. Is that all right? Am I preaching? I didn't say this now. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm exhorting you. Exhorting one another. You'd exhort your brothers and sisters. And so much the more. So much the more. As you see the day approaching, what is he talking about? He's talking about the coming of the Lord. That we're in perilous times, that there are damnable doctrines of demons and of devils, and there are people that are bound by all types of chains, and they need the power of the Holy Ghost to free them. Psychology cannot free them. Oh, we got all these helps, and I had a man come in here, Ray Clark, and on Veterans Day, and they let him go into the military bases to tell about Jesus, because they found out their help work program, they don't work. But they found out that he's got a 90-some percentile of success. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. That's a good success rate, 90-some percent. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let him tell you that you'll never make it. You will make it if you'll come to church, if you'll get into church with people of like precious faith and let the Holy Ghost talk to you. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus does. He leads, and that's what a shepherd is supposed to do. He's to lead you. He's to guide you. He's to empower you. He's to help you so you can make it. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Every believer, if they belong to Jesus, they need to belong to a local church. I said, every believer, if they belong to Jesus, they belong to a local church. Oh, I can go out and I can worship God looking at the stars and the mountains, and I can go down to the coast and I can just see God everywhere. I'll tell you one thing, you won't have God speak to you through a message. He chose the foolishness of preaching, not foolish preaching, but the foolishness of preaching to save people. He said, how shall they go except I send them? God does the choosing. And God is the good shepherd watching over you. He wants you in a church, a good local church, where you can be fed the word of God. And we need a pastor, and we need to get into the church, and we need to be active in the church, and we need to support the church financially. Your blessings are tied to the church. Jesus said, I'll build my church. He said, I'll bless you going out. I'll bless you coming in. He said, I'll bless everything you put your hands to if you be connected to my church. See, his plan is the local church, not man's plan. That's God's plan. Jesus said, I'll build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. See, America was founded upon godly principles. And God has local churches all over this world, all over America, too. And the influence of the church, it is felt all the way from Washington, D.C. to the smallest country crossroad. There are men and women throughout our land of America, farmers, business people, sports figures, politicians, doctors, lawyers, professional people, others that have been influenced by the local church. Their families were involved in the church. They've been taught about Jesus. They were brought up to love the Lord. And today they stand as lights in this dark world. We're living in some perilous times. Just look at our nation right now. Look at the confusion regarding same-sex marriage. Look at the confusion regarding abortion and wars that are going on around the world. Look at the confusion, the security issues we have. Look at our borders. We are being invaded by people right now. We need to thank God that throughout our land today that there are people who testify about Jesus Christ, and they are not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody, somewhere, spent some time teaching them about Jesus. And we need to thank God for the local church. Thank God for the Sunday school teachers. Thank God for those nursery workers. Thank God for the welcome, those that at the welcome desk, those that take care of the coffee shop, those that are actively involved in the church. The Bible says we ought not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Everybody needs a local church. Everybody needs a shepherd. Everybody needs the fellowship and the influence of the family of God. We need a local church, a Bible-believing church, where you can hear the word of faith preached under the anointing of God. There are storms out there. There are storms headed your way. No one is exempt from the storm. So the Bible tells us to put on the whole armor of God, to be suited up. Put on the helmet of salvation. That's Jesus. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Jesus. Have your loins girded about with truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. That's Jesus. Be always ready to testify, tell somebody about Jesus. Take the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the... That's Jesus. I live by the faith of the Son of God. You live by his faith. You have his faith. You are what God said you are. You have what God said you have. You can do what God said you can do. You may not have received revelation yet, but if you'll stay in the church, I promise you, if you'll stay in this church, you'll get revelation. Because the Holy Ghost is here, and he's talking, and he's healing, and he's manifesting the glory of God. Hallelujah. I mean, a whole lot more is going on than you think is going on. My heart wept when I found out about my comrade that served in Vietnam with me. And he's dead today. But praise God, I don't know where, how God sees things. I don't understand that. I just know what the Word of God says. And I know one thing. I had the privilege to pray with that man. I saw the power of God come over him. And they testified that something happened to him. And he joined the church down there. Wonder what in the world happened to him. He got born again. Go on, praise God. Woo! Hallelujah. That's what you do make a difference. I guarantee you what you do makes a difference. Hallelujah. Your presence is felt here at Westmoreland. Your work is felt here at Westmoreland. People need you here at Westmoreland. I need you. We need one another. We're a body. Hallelujah. The local church is the place where we worship God in spirit and in truth. We all need to be committed to the church. Jesus said, I'll build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. A church is a place where dreams begin. And if you have a dream, you didn't manufacture it. You've heard me say that. God put that dream in your heart. Hallelujah. That's what the church is all about. It's a place where churches, where dreams begin. And God wants us to dream big dreams. Hallelujah. Dream about happy homes, to dream about happy people, to dream about our children doing the will of God, our children be born again of the Spirit and following God, to dream about, hallelujah, being debt free, to dream about healthy bodies, to dream about touching the world for Jesus Christ. Praise God. We need our families, and our families need the church. We need the family of God. You hold that up. Heard that old saying, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. You've heard that, haven't you? Well, parents, we need to set some examples. We need to lead the way. We need to be committed to the church. I get things from my little children. They're not little children. They're all grown and gone. But it's the influence of their godly heritage that changed them, that has made them and who they are today. And the church is there. It's the local church. God put it here so we could come together and worship him. Hallelujah. So God says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And we need the church, and we need people to get under the load and to be faithful to the things of God. Now, let me ask you a question. Who cares about your children and who cares about your family like the church? Will anyone else train your children in the ways of God? Will the movie industry do it? No. Will the entertainment world do it? No. Will the secular world do it? No. Will this immoral society that we live in, will they do it? No. But as your pastor, I feel a responsibility to you and to your family. And if you will stay in the local church, if you will hear the word of God, if you will be faithful in your attendance, when the storms of life come, you will never go down in defeat. The church is one of the anchors that holds us in the storms of life. Pastor Rick and I, we preach 26 sermons on surviving the storms of life. It was on a Wednesday night. Wednesday night is not a great big night for some people for some strange reason. But I'll tell you, some of the greatest treasures you could ever have gotten came. It's out there on Facebook. But, you know, the television and Facebook, and if you can get to church, that's not the place to worship God. That's the place to get information. Amen. The church is where we come, the local church, to worship God. People can be so smart about natural things and so ignorant concerning spiritual matters. It does matter what you hear. It does matter whether or not you're in the church or not. It does matter. It matters to others. It may just be your smile. I may not have anything to do with somebody's victory. It may just be that you went up and touched them, and your touch, the tender touch of the Master's hand that flowed out of you, flowed to them. God uses all people in the church. We're a body. We have all types of gifts. And your gifting cannot be realized and it cannot be fulfilled. And you cannot do what God wants you to do if you're not connected to a local church and working there. People are counting on you. Hallelujah. Now, the storms are coming, but you need anchors. David was a man after God's own heart, and he understood this principle. In Psalms 73, he said, my feet almost slipped. I almost went down. David said, I was envious when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. David was always experiencing problems. He said, why do the wicked people have plenty? Why are they so prosperous? Why do they look so happy? They never have any problems, yet it seems that I have problems all the time. David looked at the prosperity of the wicked, how well they were doing. He began to question, does it pay to serve God? And then he said, this thing was almost too painful for me until what? Until he went to the local church. He's in a battle. He said, if I can just get to the church, if I can just get to the temple, I'm going in there and praise him. I'm in a battle, but I'm going to get to that church, praise God, and I'm going to praise my way out of this situation. I know that my praise will work. I know I'm in a battle. I know that the devil's hitting me from every side. The enemy's breathing down my neck, but I shall yet praise him who is my health, who is my strength. The Lord is my strength and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the light of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. The good shepherd watches over you. And he put a shepherd in the local church so you could be endued with power from on high, so you could get revelation knowledge. Don't do yourself, sell yourself short. Get to the church every time the doors open. Get there, praise God, and come with an attitude of gratitude and come and say, I've come to hear from you, Father. I've come to hear a word from God. I've been redeemed by the blood, but I'm in a battle and I'm coming forth more than a conqueror. Thanks be unto God, which giveth me the victory through Jesus Christ my Lord. Go on, praise him. Hallelujah. You know, there are so many unanswered questions in life, so many things that you don't understand about what are happening to you. Television is not the answer. The movie industry is not the answer. The secular world is certainly not the answer. We've lost a whole generation of people because their parents did not take them to the local church. And today, look at our nation. We have a crime epidemic. We have a generation caught up on drugs, alcohol, illicit sex, living together outside of the bonds of marriage, unnatural passions, homosexuals and lesbians. And they're not in the closet anymore. Why didn't the church come out of the closet? Say, hallelujah, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And if you believe, you can be saved. And if you don't believe, you're going to be damned and you're going to a devil's hell. We don't want you to go there. We got the answer. His name is Jesus. Won't you come go to church with us? Won't you come follow us to church? I'm like old brother David. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Some people come to church leaving. 10 minutes to 12. And some people leave church coming back. That's the way I am. I leave church coming back. I love you so much. You don't know how much I love you. You might think that a hardcore Marine doesn't love me. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Deep inside this crust, deep inside this shell, deep inside, there's a river flowing, the river of God, and I love you. I love you with the passion of God, because he put it in my heart to love you like that. Hallelujah. David said, I didn't understand it all, But when I went to the church, I got a revelation. And I saw the end of those people. Something happened when he heard the word of God. He heard the word preached. He understood the end of the wicked. David said, surely the wicked have been set in slippery places. Destruction is in their way. They're brought low to destruction, to desolation. And in a moment of time, they are utterly consumed. Look at Psalm 73:16. Look at what David said about the church. David said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. He looked at the wicked. He thought they had it made. I cannot tell you how I've gone out in my neighborhood and I was going through health problems. You think the devil didn't talk to everybody? He'll discourage anybody. He said, look at them. They don't serve your God. Look at what you're going through. Why, you can't even get out there and cut your grass. Woo! Look at me now. Glory! Hallelujah! Glory to God. And guess what? God healed me. My name's still in the book. And I'm still praying for them. It may look like everything's okay, but it's not if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. David said, surely the wicked have been set in slippery places. Destruction is in their way. Look at this, Psalm 73:16. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went to the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Surely that is set them in slippery places. That cast them down to destruction. How are they brought into desolation? In a moment, they are utterly consumed with terror, my Lord. David said, they're going to be destroyed. But I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I was so glad, so glad, so glad, oh so glad. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I love the church. You know why I love the church? Because Jesus loves his church. And because you're in the church. And we're to love one another. As Christ loved us and gave himself for us. Oh, you know it. You're preaching good. Christ loved the church and gave himself for us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You've been to church. I can tell that. Amen. You've heard some preaching. Glory to God. See, we're the called out one, the Ecclesiastes. And Jesus called us out of darkness into the marvelous light. But not only we call out of darkness, we're called into his light. And not only that, we're called unto his eternal glory. Eyes not seen, ears not heard, it's not even in the hearts of man, the things that God has prepared to those that love him. We're going to a city where the roses never fade. God said, I'll wipe away all tears from their eyes. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more pain. He said, every step shall be a thrill. He said, the city director shall be called the Lamb's Book of Life. Every meal shall be a banquet. The angel shall be the caretakers. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I'm going away, but let not your heart be troubled. No matter how great the storm, don't let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Do you know, son or friend, come is one of God's favorite words. Jesus said, come unto me. He said, I'll receive you. He said, if you're heavy laden, if you're going through a storm, even if you're saved, he says, come. Come is one of God's favorite words. At the end of the journey, Jesus said, God will say, come unto me, you blessed of my Father, receive what God has prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Oh, how glorious heaven's going to be. Since childhood I heard of a heaven. I wondered if it could be true, if there could be mansions eternal up there somewhere beyond the blue. I wondered if people really go there. And one day, sweet Jesus came in. I caught a vision of heaven. My soul with all heaven did blend. Heaven, happy home above. Heaven, land of peace and love. Oh, it makes me feel like traveling on. Heaven eternal, heaven supernal. I'm so glad that it's real. One day heaven's gates are gonna swing open. Redeemed of all ages shall see the throne of God sending rays of glory and a mansion prepared for you and me. The tree of life stands by the crystal river. Sainted mother saved by God's redeeming grace. With all the other loved ones gone before us. Won't heaven be a wonderful place? Heaven, happy home above. Heaven, land of peace and love. Oh, it makes me feel like traveling on. Heaven eternal, heaven supernal. Oh, I'm so glad that it's real. Son of friend, don't you want to go? If you're watching by live stream, all you've got to do is open your heart and say, Jesus, I believe you took my sins. Come into my heart. Wash my sins away. Receive me. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Let us stand. Hallelujah.
There's an army rising up.
The church.
There's an army rising up. There's an army.
Hallelujah. The church. Go to it. Give to it. Work in it. Get involved in it. Hallelujah. It's Jesus' church. You're a part of it.
Break every chain.
Break every chain. Let's come to the altar. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar.
There
it shall never go out. That fire on this altar. Oh, this church is prayer conditioned. Hallelujah. Glory.
Woo. There is power.
Come talk to God. Tell him about the storm. Tell him about your need. Tell him about your hurt. Tell him about your sorrow. Tell him about your sickness. Tell him about your need. There's an army.
Woo. In the name of Jesus.